Welcome to Curie, where we unpack the biggest stories shaping healthcare. I'm Matt, and today we're diving into something that healthcare professionals might not have expected to be discussing after the Super Bowl: pharmaceutical ads. It's Super Bowl Sunday, where commercials are as much a part of the event as the game itself. Celebrities, humor, nostalgia, it's the ultimate advertising spectacle. But this year, something stood out. Amid the beer, snacks, and car commercials, there was a growing presence of pharmaceutical ads. Hims & Hers made its Super Bowl debut focusing on weight loss medications, while Novartis ran a high-profile ad on breast cancer awareness. This raises a bigger question: should pharma brands be advertising at this level? And more importantly, what does this mean for you as a healthcare professional? Pharmaceutical advertising during the Super Bowl is still rare, but that's changing. With over 120 million viewers tuning in, it's the most coveted stage for any brand. But the high cost, $8 million for 30 seconds, raises questions. Is pharma advertising at this level a public health service, or is it just another commercial gamble? Let's start with the case for pharma advertising. Some argue that these ads serve a public health function by educating patients about treatment options. Conditions like diabetes, depression, or obesity often go undiagnosed, and pharma ads can help raise awareness. Hims & Hers, for example, used its Super Bowl spot to highlight weight loss drugs and accessibility concerns. These ads don't just inform, they also encourage doctor-patient conversations. A study found that 25% of patients who saw a pharma ad sought a new diagnosis. That's a staggering number. Pharma ads can also destigmatize certain conditions. For years, topics like mental health, sexual health, and chronic diseases were often whispered about. Now, campaigns on national television are bringing them into mainstream conversation. Novartis's breast cancer awareness ad during the Super Bowl aimed to do just that, promote early detection and screening. As Toby Ketcher, a pharma marketing expert, put it to pharma, advertising is not about the flash. It's about reaching the humans who need treatment. But does this approach always serve patients' best interests? There's also a strong argument against pharma advertising at this scale. Critics argue that direct-to-consumer ads can lead to overprescription. Patients might request medications they don't actually need simply because they saw a commercial. A perfect example, the skyrocketing demand for GLP-1 weight loss drugs, many of which have limited long-term safety data. Then there's the issue of how these ads present information. Regulations require pharma companies to disclose risks, but let's be honest, most of the time these disclosures are drowned out by upbeat visuals and background music. Pfizer's ad last year used Queen's "Don't Stop Me Now" instead of a clear call to action. The message is clear: excitement sells better than caution. And let's not forget the cost. Pharma companies spend over $5 billion annually on TV ads. That money isn't coming from nowhere. It's factored into drug pricing. Some of the most heavily advertised drugs offer little benefit over cheaper alternatives, yet demand remains high because patients recognize the brand names from commercials. RFK Jr., Trump's nominee for HHS secretary, put it bluntly: pharma ads aren't making us healthier. They're steering sick Americans toward expensive brand name medications. The U.S. stands almost alone in its approach to pharma advertising. Only the United States and New Zealand allow direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical ads. Most developed nations, including those in Europe, ban them outright. Why? Their governments argue that these ads promote unnecessary medication use and inflate healthcare costs. Dr. David Kessler, former FDA commissioner, explained, "If banning these ads was easy, it would have happened already. The courts have ruled that pharma ads are protected commercial speech. In other words, the legal system views these ads as a form of free speech, making it difficult to implement outright bans." But that hasn't stopped some policymakers from trying. RFK Jr. and Elon Musk have both pushed for banning drug ads on TV, arguing that they create conflicts of interest in news media. The idea is that networks won't criticize pharmaceutical companies that fund their advertising, but banning these ads outright would face serious First Amendment challenges. Courts have repeatedly ruled that restrictions on commercial speech must be narrowly tailored. A blanket ban likely wouldn't survive legal scrutiny. Instead, the real fight may be over stricter regulations rather than an outright ban. Some experts suggest requiring more transparency in drug pricing within ads or placing stricter controls on the types of claims that can be made. Whether that happens remains to be seen. So where does this leave healthcare professionals? As physicians, pharmacists, and medical experts, you're the ones answering the questions when patients come in and say, I saw this drug on TV. Do I need it? Pharma advertising isn't going away anytime soon, but how should clinicians respond to it? Does it empower patients or does it distort care? And as we watch this trend expand into high-profile advertising spaces like the Super Bowl, one thing is clear, pharma is playing the long game and patients are watching. Thank you for joining me today on Curie. If you found this discussion insightful, don't forget to spread the word about the Curie app, where you can access exclusive episodes and deep dives into the policies shaping healthcare. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep connecting.